1359, Enos Polymers Incorporated versus BASF Catalysts. We'll hear first from Mr. Morrison.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, I'm Francis Morrison, and I'm here this morning on behalf of Enos Polymers, Inc., plaintiff and the appellant in this case. Your Honors, I think that one of the great difficulties here, and I say this respectfully, is that the district court, in granting a 12B6 motion dismissing the complaint, did not take into account consideration of two very important, different but related provisions of the contract. And I refer, Your Honors, to Article 19. And Article 19 concerns assignments of the agreement. Assignments of the agreement. Article 17 refers to changes of ownership, changes of control, sales of the plant itself or parts of the plant by contracting parties. And the failure to consider those two provisions, Your Honors, led the district court to conclude that a purchase of stock by an indirect parent of an indirect parent of a contracting party constituted an assignment of the contract under Article 19. That conclusion, Your Honors, is contrary to the Baxter Healthcare decision in this circuit, which is binding authority in connection with this case. Article 19, Your Honors, deals directly with assignments of the agreement. And that's all it deals with. Does not mention ownership changes, does not mention control, does not mention the plant. It mentions assignments of the agreement. Baxter Healthcare says that purchase of stock, in that case, it was a contracting party directly who was a competitor, that did not constitute an assignment. Article 19 also has within it a permissive exception. Basically what it says is that, again, party may assign the agreement to sister corporations and related corporations. The district judge construed that provision, in his opinion, as shorthand for purchases of stock and other transfers. The fact that that provision, Your Honors, is an exception to an otherwise restriction on assignments of the contract cannot broaden the meaning of assignment because, as a matter of logic, it is an exception. It's important for the court to know that Enos Polymers is the same entity, the same people who have been performing this contract since 1995. Contract is dated 1992, when there was a permissive assignment of the contract by Amoco Chemical to Amoco Polymers. So the entities that have come forward have all been the same entity, just name changes because of corporate reorganizations or corporate transactions.
Change in ownership at one point.
There were changes in ownership, Your Honor, of the parents. Some of them were reorganizations. There were changes in ownership. The contract stayed with the same entity the whole time, and that's where it resides today. And finally, Your Honor, Article 9 honors. Article 19, at the end, in the last sentence, I apologize for reading to the court. It says, the terms of this agreement shall be binding upon, and in you or to, the benefit of the parties hereto, and their successors, and permitted delegatees and assignees. The district court, in its opinion, used, without analysis, the words successors and assignees interchangeably. First of all, they are different things under the law. A successor under the law is one who stands in the shoes of another for all purposes. An assignee typically assumes contractual rights and obligations and is different than a successor. But in any event, Your Honors, the provision uses both of the terms. And rules of contract interpretation are that effect has to be given to all those terms.
Was Amoco was it an agreement that Amoco could take over this thing? Because Amoco was not the same as the original, was the original party here.
Amoco.
I'm looking at this very helpful graph that you have on page 12 and trying to follow these various changes in corporate structure and contracting parties here.
Amoco Chemical, Your Honor, was the contracting party.
On the original 1992 agreement.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, and that Amoco Chemical then became Amoco Polymers.
But actually, Your Honor, what happened was, if I may, I'm sorry I interrupted you. Amoco Chemical assigned the contract to Amoco Polymers, a permitted assignment, Your Honor, because it was a corporate sister affiliate under Article 19. That entity, Amoco Polymers, Inc., is the same entity as INEOS Polymers, Inc. today.
Even though it went through these other BP Amoco Polymers, Inc., and Novine Polymers, Inc.
The names changed, Your Honor, because the parents and indirect parents of that entity changed, and the name changed. And, Your Honor, the law is mixed on whether or not a name change alone makes one a successor, but there is law that says that a name change makes one a successor. But other than the name change, Your Honor, those are the same entities. And other than this last one, no one's ever claimed that they weren't appropriate, that entity, that they were not an appropriate party to the agreement. So, Your Honor, if we go to Article 17, Article 17 Article 17 is a much broader provision, And it provides that there's a right of first refusal to the Amoco side, the INEO side of the agreement, in the event that certain things happen, that there's a change of control in CRI, BASF, that line under the agreement, that there is a transfer of the plant, transfer of part of the plant. It's a broader provision, and it shows that when the draftsman of this agreement wanted to address changes of ownership, changes of control, they knew how to do it. And they didn't do it in connection with Article 19. If the district judge was correct that Article 19 covers a change of ownership, a stock purchase, if he was, and if BASF is right in making the same claim, Article 17 would not be needed. If assignment in Article 19 includes all those other things that are listed in Article 17, all of those other things in Article 17, all those terms, all those verbs are surplusage. And, of course, that violates the principal rule of giving effect to all of the terms of an agreement. The right of first refusal is unilateral. It only applies to the Amoco INEO side of the deal. And I just want to take a minute to explain INEO's polymers business so that the court can understand why the provision looks like it does and why it's so important to their business. INEO's polymers licenses around the world technology platforms, including catalyst, for those who make polypropylene. It's a very exacting, demanding technology. Compliance with the contract is very important in terms of the catalyst that comes out, in terms of the price, in terms of the longevity, so that INEO's polymers can rely on its ability to enter into these technology licenses with polypropylene manufacturers around the world. And the effect of the district judge's decision was to throw all of that into doubt. And we've said that we think that it's billions of dollars of commerce that's involved. It shows the importance of the right of first refusal.
Who purchases the polymers that are made by these entities? Do you repurchase these?
Some of them, Your Honor, actually the agreement permits INEO's polymers to direct catalyst to go directly to affiliate companies. Affiliates are defined in the agreement.
Your affiliates with you.
Yes, Your Honor, and to third parties as part of technology platforms.
And actually, the parties had been doing that for a couple of years following the INEO's transaction?
Yes, Your Honor, they have. And no one complained until the Engelhart BASF transaction happened and INEOS asserted its right of first refusal. The right of first refusal is very important. If Your Honor can imagine for a moment that, and I'll pick a silly example, Starbucks bought the plant, or Starbucks took control of BASF. Starbucks knows nothing about the catalyst business. And while we would still have our contract rights, they'd be cold comfort. And so this is very important that we are able to say, in effect, I'm going to match any offer you've gotten for your plant or for your business, and I'm going to do it myself. Your Honor, we ask, and I also say, Your Honor, that in the 15 years of this agreement, no party ever obtained advance permission under Article 19 for ownership changes. We ask the court to reverse the district court's determination as a matter of law. We also ask the court very respectfully and reluctantly that if the court is going to reverse, that this court exercises discretion under Circuit Rule 36 to reassign this matter to another district judge or order it reassigned to another district judge on remand. I'm going to reserve the rest of my time unless you have questions.
I think you've used all your time.
I have.
Bottle time, but we'll give you a minute or so.
Thank you very much.
All right, Mr. Pascal.
A moment while I remove counsel's material. May it please the court. My name is Roger Pascal. I represent BASF Catalysts in this case.
Mr. Pascal, at the end of your, at some point in your remarks, not necessarily now, I want you to be captain of your own presentation, I hope you will address Morrison's remarks as to how the contract makes sense as he believes it ought to be interpreted. Why does it make business sense as you want us to interpret it?
First of all, I'll start with that, Your Honor. It makes business sense because of the intimacy of this relationship. As the district judge pointed out, this is a contract of approximately, with exhibits, 130 pages. It joins the parties at the hip. And Aeneas is the first party that entered, by the way. Counsel is dead wrong about consent. Every single prior transaction, and I want to use the page 12 chart that Judge Evans said was helpful because I agree that it is. There are consents, and they're attached to the complaint. They're exhibits, and I'm going to go through those. It makes sense because of the nature of this relationship. It's not only exclusive, Your Honors, on the Aeneas side, or I would say the Amico side. Bear in mind, Aeneas is not only a stranger but a latecomer. Aeneas comes in on December 16, 2005, 15 days, not 15 years, but 15 or 17 days later, BASF starts a tender offer for Engelhard, which is the other side. And immediately, our folks at Aeneas start planning how they can use what we believe to be an utterly impossible right of first refusal to grab the whole business. Because they're a licensing company, unlike their predecessors, who are actual manufacturing and chemical companies, as counsel said. It makes business sense, and not only does it make business sense, I'm going to try and walk you honors through exactly how the prior parties considered this distinction between an asset deal and a stock deal. They considered
it. Helpful to me if you, as you're doing that, you can reference this.
I intend to do exactly that. And I think I'll continue to answer Judge Ripple's question as I take you through this. Let me suggest, again, turning to page 12 of the plaintiff's brief. And then I'm going to go through with reference to that, because this is, after all, a pleadings case. It comes up on the pleadings. And the suggestion that no party had sought a consent before is belied by the complaint. Let's start, for example, with, if you look at the chart, the first actual change in ownership on the BASF side, that left-hand column, Mallinckrodt buys CRI in stock purchase. It's a stock purchase. You wouldn't think that would be an assignment if you accept Mr. Morrison's point of view. It's a stock deal, and the subsidiaries, the ones that are actually doing this, these catalyst deals, the And I started to say, my client, it's an exclusive for my client. My client only has one customer on the BASF Catalyst side, the Mallinckrodt CRI Engelhard side. We have one customer, so it's important who's on the other side. So if you look at that first transaction, Mallinckrodt buys CRI in stock purchase. Then I would like your honors to turn to, now these are exhibits to the third amended complaint. The district judge gave our friends at Aeneas three opportunities to file a complaint. And there's no reason to think he wouldn't have given them more. They chose to stand on this complaint. If you look at Exhibit B to that complaint, that's Supplemental Appendix, page 159. I'm just going to refer to two letters in this connection. Exhibits B and C, they are, in fact, consent letters. B deals, it's a March 24, 1998 letter. It deals with Amoco Polymers' understanding that Mallinckrodt is going to buy the sell certain assets to Engelhard Corporation. Well, it turns out those, in fact, actually that's a later asset deal. But it refers, if you look at the first paragraph of this letter, the parties, and by at this point the parties are Mallinckrodt and Amoco, because Mallinckrodt is already in the deal. Now they're talking about the next deal. But they recite prior assignments. And if you look at that first paragraph, it refers to the assets would include plant Mallinckrodt uses to produce catalysts pursuant to a catalyst supply agreement. That catalyst supply agreement is the 120-page agreement that's at the core of this, dated September 17, 1992. That's the agreement between Amoco Chemical and Catalyst Resources, and which subsequently is this first Mallinckrodt transaction, was assigned by Catalyst Resources, Inc., CRI, and which subsequently was assigned by Catalyst Resources to Mallinckrodt.
But the description of that transaction in the letter that you're quoting from doesn't matter, because it's the nature of the transaction in question that governs whether there was, in fact, an assignment. And if it was a stock deal, there is no assignment, and under the law of this circuit, anyway, that sort of change of ownership, as perhaps distinct from an asset transaction, is not an assignment.
Respectfully disagree, Judge Sykes. The law of this circuit, as in Baxter, for example, doesn't deal with arrangements that are this intimate and with exclusivity. In fact, I think the briefs adequately show why Baxter Healthcare does not apply here, and the cases that deal with it do. But what the parties thought it meant is important. Because it is not clear, I understand the simplicity of the stock deal, asset deal arrangement, but when the parties back in 1998 believed that that transaction was an assignment, they got it right. And that's why they got consent. And they recite the same thing in Exhibit C when there's a sale-leaseback financing, which they need consent for. They again recite that the Mallinckrodt by CRI stock purchase was an assignment. So, so far we've covered two reasons why, with all due respect, I suggest the pleadings failed here. Number one, with all due respect, Your Honor, and I think the briefs make it clear, the law is in the circuit is not that because it's a stock or asset deal, there cannot be an assignment.
Well, that's the general rule. You may be arguing that this case doesn't fall within the general
correct.
Rule, but that is the general rule.
It's the general rule, but even
a stock transaction, change of ownership does not effectuate an assignment of a contractual arrangement. And one would expect to see, if there was in fact an assignment, some sort of document signed by both sides memorializing that.
Well, we do see it. In fact, these are assignments. For example, the second one, Exhibit C, is a sale-leaseback transaction. And again, they refer to the prior transactions as assignments. Some are asset deals, some are stock deals, but they're referred to as assignments by those parties. And, in fact, obviously, Aeneas thought it was important because they claim, incorrectly, that they were not even referred to by the parties as assignments. They are referred to by the parties. The parties thought they were assignments. That's the way they dealt with them. Now, in terms of what their rights, so I believe that it helps us understand what was intended here. And I with all due respect, I think the Baxter Healthcare case and the others we cite are dealt with properly. This is an exceptional case because of the nature of this contract and, most importantly, exclusivity, which changes the rules. And the parties, it wasn't like that should have been a surprise to Aeneas if they'd talked to the people they were buying from in late December 2005. They would have known that. And, indeed, Aeneas is the first party that didn't get a consent for any kind of a transaction. But it doesn't stop there. First of all, I do believe, with all due respect, Your Honor, this is an exception under the cases. Number two, I believe, contrary to what our opponent argues, the behavior of the parties does show that they considered transfers of ownership. And by the way, Section 17 doesn't deal with changes. It deals specifically with rights of first refusal, which I can explain to you if we have the time, doesn't apply here. But the third reason...
That's the substantive claim here, though,
Section
17. What we're talking about is whether Section 19 applies defensively.
I agree. But let's start with Section 19, Your Honor. It is contrary to what counsel said. It's a remarkably clear provision and absolute. It is a flat ban.
Not too many remarkably clear.
Well, this one is.
This 130-page contract.
I couldn't agree more. Look at this one, though, Your Honor. Neither party may assign this agreement. Or, and by the way, counsel said this deals with the whole thing. He's wrong. Or any part thereof, like a contract right, without the prior written consent of the other. And I'm going to put a period there, because the exceptions that follow are specific to the original parties. They don't apply. As of right now, and as of 2005, when Aeneas bought into one side of this deal, as of that time, Your Honor, there was no exception. This contract is non-assignable except with the written consent of the other side. Now, I understand the stock asset exception. I tried to show Your Honors that the prior parties didn't see that stock deal asset deal the same way. But now I want to turn to a third reason. And I suspect, since this is a pleading case, one we ought to spend a few minutes on, the third reason why the district judge was correct. The district judge looked at what he called a main transfer, and he saw that there had to be somewhere along the line an assignment here. And there was. Well, at least the pleadings suggest there was. Because the fact is, Your Honor, and I'm going to liken this, counsel emphasizes the proposition that Polymers is the same corporate entity as Amoco Polymers.
It was Amoco Chemical.
Well, it changed to Amoco Polymers eventually. I'm just trying to use the Polymers name because that's the one that comes down to us today. But, Your Honor, the fact is that this is like a baseball infielder in a rundown, and he's got the ball in his right hand, and he tags the runner with his left hand. The left hand is Polymers. All right. The left hand is where he makes the tag. The problem is, Your Honor, Judge Shader begged the plaintiff to eliminate the possibility that there had been an assignment. And I'd ask Your Honors to assume this scenario, because obviously it's more than an assumption. What counsel has done with respect to exhibits to the complaint is to choose only, you will notice, in exhibits E and F, for example, at pages 168 and 170, only letters from our side, from Engelhard BASF. Let's assume that in those exchanges, that Aeneas USA, and by the way, you will note that this correspondence is not with Polymers. But as counsel said, they were using them as a conduit for other affiliates. Let us assume that in that exchange there was a letter in which Aeneas USA said that Aeneas USA is granted the option to purchase. In other words, we are the owner of those contract rights. Not Polymers, but we. I'm asking you to assume that because that letter wasn't included. But as a pleading matter, and this is what Judge Shader was looking for, we have all kinds of allegations about Polymers being the same corporation. What we don't have, and I ask Your Honors to focus on paragraph 14 of the Second Amended Complaint on page 4 of the supplemental appendix. What we don't have is an allegation that Aeneas Polymers never assigned it to its parent, which would have been an assignment requiring consent. And if you're going to live by this asset versus stock deal sword, you have to die by that sword. What do the lawyers do if they have that kind of a problem? And that what they do is artful pleading. And they're not willing to violate Rule 11, so what they say is what we see here in paragraph 14. Aeneas Polymers is a Texas company, they say. The second sentence. Aeneas Polymers is a subsidiary of Aeneas USA LLC, which markets and sells the catalyst purchased under the supply agreement through its offices in Lyle, Illinois. Polymers is in Texas. USA is in Lyle. It is the parent company. It's doing the purchasing. And it could they could have said, and if it were true, of course they wouldn't, that, and by the way, we are the contracting party. Or they could have denied that Polymers ever assigned it to INEOS USA. That is what is missing. And it is artful pleading. Now, we don't have all of the exhibits. You will note the exhibits were selected to include only one side, not INEOS's. You won't see any of INEOS's letters, including ones that say what I just said to this court. But the pleading process is supposed to bring that out. And that's what happened here. It worked. It worked. And the answer to the question is, because of the way this is pled, the way that INEOS pleaded after three chances to plead and to say that not only is INEOS Polymers the same company, but it has never assigned to any other party like its parent, it doesn't say that. And this trial court, this trial judge, begged them, and if you look at his first opinion at the end, begged them or dared them, you can put it any way you want, to so plead. And there's no indication they couldn't have pled again if they wanted to. They are not willing to say that INEOS Polymers has not assigned it to its parent, or that its parent took those contracts rights, or that its parent has said in writing to my client that, in fact, those rights were assigned. If I were to follow the rule suggested in their opening brief by INEOS, that is that they are permitted to introduce new facts on appeal, even though they're not in the trial record. They actually urge this. So long as they're consistent with the complaint, I would say to Your Honors that what I've just offered as a hypothetical is a fact. It's a fact that INEOS USA claims to be the actual holder of those rights. But whether I do or don't, the important thing, and whether I'm allowed to by the rule that INEOS articulates, whether I'm allowed to or not, the fact is that this pleading does not plead that there was no assignment. It does not plead specifically that Polymers is indeed the owner of those contract rights. Okay. I see that my time has expired.
Thank you. Mr. Morrison, we'll give you 2 minutes.
Your Honor, the discussion about Exhibits B and C to the complaint, first of all, this is basically course of performance evidence that Mr. Pascal is arguing to you. Course of performance is a question of fact, and it cannot be used to contradict a clear and unambiguous agreement. Number two, we're talking about a 1994 transaction that people characterized in 1998, 1999, and 2005. And the fact is, Your Honor, it's characterization. It's not a transaction, and it's not someone at the time characterizing it as a transaction. We had to attach those documents to our complaint because they contain amendments to the right of first refusal as things went along and people waived their rights. And you'll see it if you look at the documents. Those representations were not part of the agreement portion of those exhibits. Unless Your Honors have any questions, that's all I have to say.
Thank you, both sides. The case will be taken under advisement.